Excuse me, I'd like to remind all parties, this conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. You may begin.
Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening to everyone on today's RIA Sub-Team A call on Monday the 27th of September. We have Beau Brendler, who will be joining us shortly, Michaela Nalon, Evan Leibovich, Cheryl Langdon-Orr, and Paul Diaz. From staff, we have Glenda Saint-Géry, Margie Milam, Marika Konings, Liz Gaster, Heidi Ulrich, and myself, Gisela Gruber-White. We have apologies today from Konstantinos Komaitis and Sifa Mutasami. If I could please remind everyone to state their names when speaking for transcript purposes. Thank you. And Avri Doria is on the call as well. Apologies if I left a name off. Thank you. Over to you, Michaela.
Okay, good evening, everybody. I think we're just going to be looking at primarily at the public comments, to try and get through those. So,
if Margie, would you like me to walk everyone through the comments?
That would be very helpful, Margie. I was about to call on your wonderful for that.
No, I'll be happy to do that.
Thank you.
Just to remind everyone where we were, we've obviously published the initial report and opened it for public comment, and I circulated the summary of public comment a while ago, and the task for this group really is to look at the public comments as they relate to the Registrant Rights and Responsibilities Charter to see if the charter should be changed in any way or whether the court should be changed. So what I'll do is I'll walk through the various, and I'll pause, and we can discuss whether something should be done about it or whether there's any group response to the comments. This shouldn't take very long because there aren't that many comments related to the Registrant Rights and Responsibilities Charter. If you have time, I also have I've also uploaded the current version of the report. It essentially just changed the background information to reflect the fact that we did have public comments. It attaches the public comment summary and changes the name of the report from initial report to final report. So I'll walk you guys through that if we have time for that. So that's essentially what I'd like to do now. We have right now posted on the Adobe Connect the summary of the public comment period. And we start off with essentially the background gives background for why we published the report. There's also a description of the people who did comments in the public comment period. And then in section four, which is on page two, and you can all scroll through the document, you can review the general comments that came from the commenters. And these are essentially, noting the tremendous amount of work that the group has done, applauding the effort of the group to deal with these issues. There was some criticism related to the initial report from George Kirikos, on the RAA additional amendment topic. And then if you flip over to Section 5, which is on page 3, these are the comments that deal specifically with the Registrant Rights and Responsibilities Charter. And we've got comments from Deborah Hughes that encourages ICANN to provide more clearly define what the purpose of the Registrant Rights and Responsibilities Charter and to provide meaningful guidance that would produce benefits to registrants and the public. And then George Kirikos, Leap of Faith, was disappointed on the lack of progress on the Registrant Rights Charter, feeling that the work really failed registrants, and noted that the charter seems to be a waste of time because the annex states that the summaries do not override or replace the actual terms in the RAA or the related policies or specifications. And so his suggestion was to have it be the other way around, that registrant rights should supersede the document, the RAA. So with that, I guess we can open it up to comments to see if anyone wants to react to these comments or make changes either to the report or to the Registrant Rights and Responsibilities Charter.
Okay. if I may, then just with the comment in from George, at least it was different to the pro forma ones he was putting into everything. It was specific, so we elicited a slightly more meaningful response. How are we going to respond to that? Because there are limitations under our own terms of reference as to what can or can't happen. Is that not the case? Is that going to satisfy that need or what?
Hey, it's Bo. I'm sorry, I jumped back online. I don't know if the comments I'm sending out on Verizon are going through, but I think we should specifically respond to George with some details about some of the measures that have been taken to try to drum up interest in that registrant's rights charter, because it's not for lack of trying that we have attempted to reach out to a lot of people connected to ICANN and have not, for one reason or another, been able to drum up much excitement or interest for the project.
I agree with that, Cheryl here. I agree with that, Bo, but I think we also should make the point as to what can and cannot supersede what, and perhaps even have a piece of specifically legal advice on that, just to make sure we've closed the loop. Sorry, what was that?
It's me, it's Diaz. I was just going to say, I follow up with what Cheryl asked. You know, I thought when the group, when we put together the draft charter, that we were being careful to stay within the terms of our other working group's mandate. And it seems that some of the people, their comments, are looking for things that kind of went beyond what that mandate was. And perhaps that is the response that needs to go back out to those who are looking for a very prescriptive or anything else. If I'm wrong, please somebody correct me, but I thought we really tried to, if you will, stay within the lines.
Yeah, this is Margie, if I can comment. That is correct. He probably wasn't aware of the origins of the group, but the origins of the group related to what was in the actual 2009 RAA, where it's that if a registrant rights and responsibilities chart, you know, document was put together that outlined the rights under the RAA, registrars would be required to post to it. So it was a very narrow scope in terms of what the group was chartered to do. And I think his comments are probably more appropriate for the aspirational charter, but you know, not understanding what the scope of the group's work was.
I'm going to recognize myself, Michele. I mean, Margie has pretty much touched on what I would have said, that it would be unreasonable to expect somebody who wasn't following this group's deliberations in the early part of its work to understand exactly where we were coming from. Maybe we should have specified that more clearly within the report, but that's neither here nor there. So in reply, I think it would be the best thing would be to say something along the lines of that, you know, these comments have been noted, and we would respectfully suggest that they be, you know, that those efforts be put towards the aspirational charter document or whatever it's called at the moment.
Michele, and if I may make a suggestion, the other group, the one that dealt with the additional amendments, actually put together a document that is essentially a reply to the public comments, and it's attached as an annex to the end of the report. So I can certainly revise that to address the portion of public comment that dealt with the Registrant Rights and Responsibilities Charter following these themes that we're talking about today, if you think that's a good approach.
Margie, this is Michele. Personally, that sounds perfectly fine to me. Or somebody else has any other thoughts on this, please let them know.
Big tick showing from Avery and I to Margie's suggestion.
Nobody has any thoughts. I'd like to suggest that would be the best way forward.
Okay.
Are there any other, Margie, are there any other comments on this that are specific to this working group?
Bo, is Bo able to speak? Because I think he's got some comments in the chat you might want to, he mentioned about Deborah's comments, and I don't know if we can hear from Bo directly.
Well, I can read out the comments if you wish. I don't mind. Are you saying in response to Margie, it's better for the co-chair of the group to offer that document as opposed to staff? I mean, that's fine by me as well, as the other co-chair. He's also saying that the condition of his phone line is deteriorating, so it is better for him to type.
Okay, well, that's fine. If you guys prefer to draft the document and send it to me, I can include it in the report, whatever, you know, whatever you prefer.
I personally don't mind either one way or the other. I mean, Bo, if you want to ping me after this call via email and we can thrash out the details, that's fine by me. Bo's asking what the deadline is for drafting this.
Well, there's really no deadline except that I know the sub-team B report is essentially done. The part of the report that dealt with their issues is done, and they wanted to deliver it to the GNSO Council before the next GNSO Council meeting, which is next week. So Steve wanted to get it published in the next day or two. So that leaves the question of whether, you know, if this group can finish its work by then, we can publish them the entire report, or I can publish a final in part, if you will, and just have it address the additional amendments with a follow-up report when this group concludes its work. So it's really up to you guys as to how quickly you'd like to turn this around. And Aubrey's correct. If you look at her note, in order for it to be part of a motion, it would need to be done in 3 days.
So that would be by, what, Friday of this week?
I believe it's Wednesday, actually.
Oh, sorry, so it's in 3 days in advance is what you mean.
It's 8 days in advance, and the GNSO Council meeting's on Thursday.
Hi, Marcy, this is Glenn. It's 8 days in advance, and Wednesday is the D-Day.
Okay. So that's correct. So it's really up to you, both of you, as the co-chairs, as to how quickly you'd like to turn around that report. I can split up the final report into two parts, so that the group, the work from the sub team B, isn't affected by the work of this group.
Okay. Well, maybe just with respect to the timelines on this. Maybe something myself and Bo can thrash out after this. I mean, 3 days, as Bo was saying, is a bit short. I'm personally about here on a kind of trip around Europe. So, what will we thrash out?
Cheryl here, Bo, and make some good points on the shortness, but by the same token, it is going to get our particular responses. Perhaps I'm wrong, and GNSO councillors are unlike any other group of executive council I've ever worked with, and they read everything that comes in intersessionally. But unless it's in this lot of business papers when it's being discussed, I'm not sure how much actual input into the memory set of the council it's going to get, unless it goes for a second run specifically before the next meeting. Just as long as we're aware of that, I guess.
Aubrey?
Aubrey? Muted, Aubrey?
Muted.
Oh, I can
hear you. Probably the best way for me to speak. I'm not sure that separating them is a really good idea, and I know that would be my tendency within the NCSG group to recommend that if they come separate, that the first, that RAAB be tabled until such time as A came in anyway. I think the whole thing was originally written as a whole. It should be dealt with in the council as a whole. And I think, yes, it is unreasonable to do it in 3 days, and there'll be another meeting 2 weeks later. So, and correct me if I'm wrong, Glenn, if it's 2 weeks or 3 weeks later. So I understand wanting to get it in real soon now, but as I say, even if this one, if B does get in there for this meeting, I'm almost positive it won't get acted on until the following meeting when this one would join it.
Well, this is McKaylee, since everybody's gone quiet. Okay, well, Margie, go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to reply to Aubrey. I don't disagree with what Aubrey says, and if it's the sentiment of the group that we'd prefer to have the entire report delayed, I'd be happy to communicate that to Steve and just say, yeah, it's just going to take us a little bit longer, and we're looking at the next council meeting, you know, and I'm happy to convey that, or you as, you know, as co-chairs could do it as well.
Margie, just refresh my memory. Who's chairing the other club team?
Steve Metalis.
Okay.
Steve Metalis.
And just, this is Michele. Avery's point is very valid. I mean, the splitting the report, while I appreciate Margie's offer, I can see that call, that would be problematic as well. So probably if, would 2 weeks later or whatever make that much of a difference to anybody?
Possibly only to the other team, but, you know.
Yeah, but, I mean, doing it properly once rather than doing
Cheryl here, I think it should be together. I don't think it'll get the airtime. I don't think it'll get the action. I don't think it'll get done properly unless it all goes together.
And I'd agree with you, Cheryl. Anybody else have any other thoughts? Does anybody have a pressing, overwhelming desire for it to be done in some other fashion? I'll take that silence to mean no. Margie, could you please loop us in with the chair of the other sub-team to explain the situation?
Sure. I'll send an email and I'll CC you and Bo.
Yeah, I mean, just that laying out what the current situation is and what our thoughts are, roughly. And then we can talk about it.
Okay.
Any other matters that we are meant to be dealing with?
I can continue on the public comments if you don't mind. We kind of took a detour on the report. Okay, so the next part of the comments, if you flip to 5A, which is on page 3, talks about the work related to the aspirational charter, and there were several comments that related to that. The ITC was supportive of the development of the Registrant Rights and Responsibilities Charter and also supported further work by the at-large community and other constituents on the proposed aspirational charter. So it seems that the IPC and also INPA would like to do additional work on the aspirational charter.
Which is good.
And that was submitted by Claudio De Gangi. The Internet Commerce Association, and I don't think Phil's on right now, recommended the adoption of the charter so long as superfluous legal opinions and inappropriate references to retail price regulation has been removed from its text. And then also suggested that the charter be supplemented by the addition of a concise executive summary. So that was Philip's recommendation.
So there, So this is Evan. There's actually support outside of at large for the aspirational charter.
Absolutely. And they want to work with it, which is a very good thing.
It's extremely pleasantly surprising. So where do you go from there, given that the original intent was to move the aspirational charter away from this group and towards at-large? Do we try and do a cross-community group together with these other constituencies?
Well, at-large will have to discuss that, won't they? My guess is yes, Evan, because of two things. First of all, at least the ALAC has always recognised that to simply do it in a small stew pot of our own would be all very exciting, but hardly as productive as interacting with the wider ICANN community. And because we've been particularly keen to get cross-community work groups going in every way, shape and form to find a model that's more proactive and less reactive in policy development. And of course with the new GNSO work group model, the role of what a work group is, ALAC and at large had a fair amount of input onto the mechanisms for that more open model, so it would also fit comfortably with the newer design that GNSO is looking at adopting. So I can see no impediment to it being a wider cross-community working group.
Okay. We have the president.
We have several. But that doesn't meet the responses other than us saying the work group appreciates what's been said and we will be strongly supportive of that as an outcome. What do we say to that, I think, is the question.
Oh, just that we're delighted to see the interest in cross-community engagement on it. I mean, literally. I mean, for some time, at large was carrying the flag for that alone, and I'm delighted to see that there's other communities that are interested in it.
Okay. I don't think that the delight thing should come back as a response to a public comment from this work group.
I would second that, Cheryl.
I think that would be extremely inflammatory.
Oh, I didn't mean that choice of words. I just meant trying to convey something that we welcome the active participation of other communities and maybe I'm not wordsmithing it right, but just something to the effect that, you know, cross-community participation is a vital component of having mainstream traction for this, and we need to move forward.
That's it. What aren't we trying to put together the words for this part of the report? Bo and Michaela are making the responses.
By the way, I apologize. I can't get on Adobe Connect for reasons you know, Cheryl.
Not a problem. Michaela, you're going to have what sort of wordage to react to, I think, what are these very very good and very specific suggestions, particularly when we look at the degree that ICA has put into...
Well, personally, I think we'd need to be careful how we word a reply to that. While I can understand that if this was an ALAC, purely ALAC, Cheryl and Bo might wish to use other wording, but bear in mind, this isn't just ALAC, so something, I don't know how one would word this, but something along the lines of
you guys are going to have to work on this wording is what I'm saying. I suggest that the first drafting is going to have to come back out to the rest of the work group on this particular paragraph, because it's actually going to be a very important one to set us up with the right foundation for the next steps for the aspirational document work to be done properly.
Avery's had her hand up for a couple of minutes. I think she left.
Thanks, Avery. I was thinking about this, and I think where the wording and I'm not sure why delighted would necessarily have been a bad word, but I think that in terms of looking at, and I'm sure we don't want to use the word modality, but what we're talking about is that we will need to further explore exactly what the right sort of setup will be for continuing that, that the increased cross-community interest in this, you know, is a good thing, and now we have to figure out what's the best way within the evolving ICANN structures is for this cross-community work to get chartered and done, and without necessarily presupposing what sort of structure and where it will land. So I don't think it should be impossible to word that, you know, in a diplomatically appropriate way.
Yeah, I agree with you. Avery Sherrill here. I think you know, recognition that recent experience in cross or multi chartering organisation modelling in ICANN affords us some exciting and interesting opportunities in this field, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You know, there's stuff we can do on this, and it's actually pretty good timing to do just that. Kaylee, as an allied point, we do have face-to-face time in Cartagena between industry and at large in my ALAC agenda. Perhaps we should look at this as a particular topic for the agenda.
Sounds very reasonable.
Okay. That might be a nice development point, perhaps.
Well, I think with respect to any items on the agenda for cross, whatever we're calling these kind of things, cross community, like me,
CWG, yep.
I think it's probably best if we crash out the deed that I'll get Mason or somebody to liaise with you on that.
Yeah, well, Mason's already suggested that a face-to-face time in Cartagena would be very good, and we've got a provisional time. So I don't know whether this report could recognise that as an opportunity to take this to the next step.
Well, I think if you were to follow that up with him, don't. I'm not on the registrar stakeholder group there, so I can't.
Okay.
Or fortunately, depending on which way, what your viewpoint. Margie, go ahead.
Sure. Does since Phil's on the call, Phil, do you want to talk about your comments with respect to this topic that you submitted on behalf of ICA? Because I think you had some specific comments related to the charter itself.
Okay. Let me bring it up. Okay, which item are we on now?
We're on page 4, and it's your. I've summarized some of your comments on page related to the work for additional work for the aspirational charter.
Okay, so all right. So my comments are the ones on page 5 here.
And 4.
Starts at the top of 4.
Okay, top of 4. Yeah, I thought there were some comments in there where, you know, frankly, ICANN was trying to insulate themselves from any potential legal liability, and I'm trying to recall now what the reference was to retail price regulation. I'd have to look back at that. I think adding an executive summary is pretty self-evident. It's a long, complicated document. I think something that provides an upfront summary would be appropriate to help people identify the parts of greatest interest to them. And then on the next one, and let me, yeah, this was, again, there were some comments which suggested that ICANN could have some influence on registrar pricing, and that just should be deleted. It's outside ICANN's authority, and I don't think they've ever tried to do that. You know, we have a very robust and competitive market among registrars. And, of course, we have a thriving secondary market as well. At this point, or does that cover?
Yeah, I think that's right.
Okay.
But, Phil, the comments you're referring to deal with the aspirational charter, and that language did not come from ICANN. They try to discourage discussion related to price. So, that.
Right, but the one in registrants' rights where there was some suggestion that. ICANN has some legal insulation. I just didn't think that was appropriate. Again, I would have to take the time to look back at the report and identify those. It's been a while since I read through it.
Sure, and if I can comment, I took a look at it from your perspective, and I see your point. The language that was in the proposal that did come from here directly in the RAA and was an interpretation, so that certainly could be deleted if the group feels that's appropriate.
Mute me. I have stuff I'm doing, but I can't unmute and I can't mute.
Continue.
Well, at any rate, I had no further comments at this time unless somebody had questions of me.
Okay, does anybody have any questions with respect to Philip Forwin/ICA's comments at this time? Okay, I'll take that as a no.
I will add one thing in regard to the short comment at the bottom, page 6 and 7. The folks I represent don't view expecting ICANN to enforce its agreement with registrars as anything that's aspirational or out in the future. We expect that, you know, we expect ICANN to enforce the contracts it enters into if there's been a significant breach.
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah. Looks like somebody came in the static.
Okay, thank you, Phil.
You're welcome.
Marjorie, would you like to continue?
Yeah, sure. So I guess the question again to the group is, do we want to draft an executive summary? Do we want to delete the sections of the aspirational charter that relate to price, and do we want to take out the language that Phil suggested related to legal conclusions that weren't reflected in the RAA?
Cheryl has typed in, since she's on mute, yes to an executive summary. Anybody else have any thoughts? Always also saying that the idea of an executive summary.
Sorry, I'm trying to get my hand up, but I can't.
Okay, well, you've done us. Your hand is up. Go ahead.
Okay. I am always uncomfortable about executive summaries because what they tend to do is just abstract information down and give people something short and pablum-like to read preventing them from feeling the need to actually read the content. So I just am concerned about what our purpose is for having an executive summary, what we would expect it to contain, and how we'd expect that to work. So it's not that I'm, you know, totally against one. Sometimes they're good pieces of fluff to put before a document just so an executive can pretend they've read them. But I'm just not all that supportive in general of their utility. Or I don't believe in their utility. Thanks.
Okay, thank you, Avery. Cheryl, who's still on mute, is saying that she disagrees with Avery. Anybody else have any other thoughts? Avery's got her hand up.
Yeah, this time I got it up in time. Thanks. I guess then I'd ask is, what do we hope to achieve from the executive summary so that whoever is writing it knows how to orient it in terms of what is it you actually expect that executive summary to achieve for us? How do you expect that executive summary to, as it were, sell the case that we're making in the recommendations?
Okay, Bo has just said that he disagrees also, stating that ICANN documents are hard enough to understand. And Paul Diaz is asking who would craft the executive summary for this working group output, staff or the co-chairs? Cheryl, could you take yourself off mute, please?
She said she couldn't take herself off.
Oh, I don't really know.
Cheryl, your line is open.
Sorry, I can never, unless I'm in a Verizon control meeting view, I can't mute or unmute because I use a headset that doesn't have that facility. Now it's open. I would the question back on who would craft the executive summary. Well, if the co-chairs are crafting the response to the public comments, I would think that it's far more likely to be in sync with any of the points made to that if the co-chairs also craft the executive summary. I noticed Paul would like it to be a collaboration. In what way do you see the collaboration working, Paul?
I honestly didn't have an opinion on it, Cheryl. I was just simply asking. Let's put it this way. I wouldn't want to see staff alone take a whack at it, that the group in some form or fashion, whether it's all of us online or the co-chairs is our proxy.
I understand. Yep.
Gets away.
Yeah, no, I hear and see where you're coming from then. Well, mainly because we have a relatively short amount of time, even with putting it for the next GNSO meeting, I would have thought that the co-chairs would have put back to the list any drafting they're doing anyway, that would be the best way forward. Any glaring omissions or cut and paste, insert in here, please, to staff would be also handled through list activity. But it is an executive summary. It's not a rewriting of the document.
Okay, then. All right, and so I think that's probably the best. What Cheryl's saying makes a lot of sense. So I suppose on mute, and hopefully he agrees with what I'm saying. If Bo and I can try to put something rough together and then get other members of the group to make additions, suggestions, and edits to that, then we can work it through. And as Cheryl suggests, those kind of terribly exciting factual things could be inserted by staff. Does anybody have any issues with that? And Bo has agreed with me. Woohoo! All of one. Okay. Right. So that's our little bit of homework. This is in relation specifically to the aspirational rights one, I presume. Sorry, I'm getting completely confused.
No, this I think was related to the registrant rights responsibilities charter.
Okay. Sorry, it's just been, as I'm doing the speaking for people who are on mute, I'm getting a little bit confused here, Margie. Okay, are there other comments that we need to have a look at?
The legals, removal of the legals was the next issue to discuss, to do or not to do.
Okay. What do people feel about the legals? Cheryl?
Well, no, I was going to actually, I thought we should hear from Philip, actually, seeing as it was one of the comments he was making.
Okay. Philip? Mr. Corwin?
Muted?
Yeah, sorry. Hello?
Yep, we can hear you.
Okay. I'm sorry, I missed the question.
It was about the removal of the legal references, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
You called for that.
Yeah, I just didn't think it was appropriate in this type of document for to be expressing, advanced thoughts on what the outcome of what individual or organizational rights were to bring suit or what the outcome might be.
Anybody else have any thoughts on this?
My silence says not really. Avery?
Yeah, I guess I'm trying to frame an answer, but a sort of, first of all, an aspirational that one should have something is not necessarily a legal restriction or a legal argument on what may or may not happen. It's just talking about, a registrant's expectation and right. So I'm not sure I understand the problem.
Are we talking about my comment on page 27? Or earlier on in the document?
I thought it was earlier on as well. But
yeah,
I thought I'd already addressed that a few minutes ago.
Yeah.
I believe I was referring to a statement, and again, I don't have the original document before me, in which it stated that to the effect that the RAA was entirely between ICANN and the registrar and no third party had any ability to bring suit against ICANN in regard to it. And while, I'm well aware of privity of contract and all that, I would never, I just think it was a little self-serving to have that. There may be some legal theory where if ICANN completely neglected to enforce the agreement and someone suffered substantial harm as a result, where a court might uphold, might not dismiss the suit brought against ICANN in that situation. It's not a big deal, we're not falling our swords over this, but I just didn't think sort of an official ICANN document, it should be stating that other parties have no right to bring suit against ICANN. It has no legal effect anyway. A court's going to decide such an issue on its own.
Avery has her hand up.
Yeah, and in this case, let me apologize for having responded to the comment in the wrong place. I would definitely support your point on this one.
Non-synonym.
Right, that, you know, this is not a statement that probably belongs there. And I would think it would be reasonable to remove it as you request.
Yeah, and in fact, I note that on page 7, I actually quoted, although I was mainly commenting on something else, I actually quoted the statement where it said, no one else, including a registered name holder, may sue ICANN or the registrar to claim a breach of the RAA. You know, I think in particular, if I've got a contractual relationship with a registrar and they've just, I've suffered great harm as a result of them not delivering on their obligations to me or what they pledged to do to ICANN, I didn't think it's appropriate to say that I can't sue. And, of course, you know, again, it wouldn't stop me from suing, and it's going to be a court of jurisdiction that's going to decide whether or not the lawsuit can go forward.
Does anybody else have any other thoughts on this? Carol, you've been very quiet.
I am, because it's talking about a correction to the charter. We now, as a work group, be going to make a statement that says we agree with this suggestion and this needs to change. If that's the case, fine, but we need to make that statement and do whatever is required in the work group to make sure we've got consensus on that.
Hey, thanks, Cheryl. This is McKaylee just giving my own personal thoughts on this. My understanding, and somebody correct me if I'm completely off base on this, is that this is primarily in relation to the aspirational charter list. Is that correct? Or am I completely off base?
No, that's right. It's in the Registrant Rights and Responsibilities Charter.
No. There's two things. There's a Registrant Rights and Responsibilities Charter, and then there's an aspirational Registrant Rights Charter.
This is particular to the Registrant Rights and Responsibilities Charter.
This is particular to that?
Yes.
Okay.
Which is why you had such silence from me for a while.
Okay. All right. Sorry, I think I'll shut up. Everybody else has spoken on that, but at the end, that's fine. All right, I'm getting confused.
I've just stepped away from the Adobe room for a minute, so.
We're coming to the end of the hour. I think it probably would be a good idea to call it a day now and then just to send follow up on the list with respect to drafting some of those replies and other texts.
Mm-hmm.
Marjorie, are there any more comments that we need to look at in relation to this works, to this group's work? Or are we covered?
A lot of the changes relate to, a lot of the comments relate to the aspirational charter, actual comments on the principles. But as you recall, the working group didn't endorse the aspirational charter. The report only reflects what work was done through the at-large community. And so going through those comments may be appropriate in whatever the next forum is for, you know, this aspirational charter. But the aspirational charter wasn't a product of this working group. My suggestion is to perhaps include in the document that addresses that are received and would be appropriate for whatever next steps associated with the aspirational charter.
I agree with Margie. Cheryl here. I agree with Margie. I think they need to be recognised, they need to be noted, they need to be parked to the side and passed on to the next steps opportunity. But we can't ignore them. We need to recognise them and say, you know, valued, all points taken, bundling it up, pushing it to the next step.
The aspirational rights aspirational thing is in a wiki, and thus.
Oh, that aspirational, that part of the work is a background to it. It's an opportunity for people to have a commons and a place to work on it at a macro level. If you're going to have a cross-community work group that's effectively going to do something meaningful, then it that's just one of the tools it would use.
Yeah, no, what I was just going to suggest is that one possible next step would be to peg those comments onto the wiki page so that they're all in the one place.
Sure. If we as the team give Margie an action item to bundle them across to Heidi, then she'll get probably Marilyn or someone to do just that. Yeah, they'll check with me and I'll say yeah.
Yeah, that's fine.
In our responses, Michaela, in our response to the comments that came in, we need to make sure that there's, a sentence there that says that's what's been done.
Oh, I totally agree. I totally agree. I mean, the comments that came in, all comments, it doesn't matter what they're in relation to, should be acknowledged in some shape or form.
I mean, we heard a lot of that in the world of the ATRT, and it's pretty important that, all of these work groups start getting it right, including this one.
You won't find me disagreeing with you, Cheryl.
Well, there we go. It happens occasionally.
Yeah, okay, but let's not go there.
And Michaela, if I could just do one more at the very end of I guess it's on page 7 in section C. This is the last part that deals with the comments for this group, and it's the second part of Phil's comments related to the UDRP. In that the UDRP, the charter states that, and there's a quote there that he quoted: the registered name holder cannot dispute a UDRP's provider's ability to hear a dispute that is otherwise properly brought under the UDRP. So I think his suggestion was that be deleted.
We're asking for my input, since it's my statement.
You said it, Phil.
Yeah. The issue I was trying to get to here is that we've been, we at ICA have been disturbed by the fast-track UDRP process adopted by the Czech Arbitration Court under their supplemental rules, and by WIPO's still dormant proposal to do something similar under supplemental rules. We don't believe that we believe that's way outside the scope of what's proper under supplemental rules. Not under the UDRP as posted at the ICANN website under the ICANN rules, but. I was just trying to make the point here that if we believe a registrant does have the right to say, hey, wait a minute, that's no longer the UDRP, that's not giving me the reasoned decision that the UDRP is supposed to provide. So it's just in that narrow circumstance. Right now it only applies to the CAC, but since we've been actively raising questions about what we believe is misuse of supplemental rules by UDRP arbitration providers, we wanted to raise that concern in this context. And that would be the only, I always hate to say that there's no other circumstance, but right now that's the only circumstance I can foresee where a registered name holder could dispute the provider's ability to hear something that a complainant brought under their version of the UDRP, that is, when they have altered the basic substance of the UDRP through supplemental rules, which, so far as we're concerned, are supposed to deal with secondary ministerial and technical matters, the way you file a dispute, the number of copies, the format, that type of thing, not the actual substance of a UDRP proceeding. So I hope that explains the background on that comment.
Cheryl here, Phil. It explains the background nicely, but Margie's question of do you want that deleted hasn't been answered.
Well, either deleted or elaborate on it. Deleting would probably be simpler because the real issue here is whether such a complaint, let's say a complaint brought under the CAC fast track process, has been properly brought under the UDRC. I guess we're taking issue with the notion that anything. Any complaint accepted by a UDRP provider has been properly brought. But we're getting into areas where it's probably a lot simpler to just delete it than to elaborate on it and get into the level of detail I've articulated.
We're over time here. I think this discussion about UDRP and various other fora might be better conducted on the mailing list. Or offline, or somewhere else. Sorry, I'm just calling time on this call.
Sure, McKeelan, if I can ask a question, should we schedule a follow-up call?
I can't hear you. The line's very good. Broke up on me.
Sure. Hold on a second. Should we set up a follow-on call? Because it sounds like we'll have some work on the list, but we probably do need to schedule another call to wrap up these issues.
I would suggest that we try to wrap up the details of this by email. We have the group as a whole feels that another call is merited, then we will try to schedule one. That's my own personal thoughts. Bo, if you want to type in something there quickly. Another call once the draft is produced. Fine by me.
Fair enough.
We're working on the basis here, rather. We get moving on the work, get stuff moving, rather than tying ourselves to a call in a week or 2 weeks' time or, you know, whatever time period.
Cheryl, here, just to that end, as you wrap up, could we frame to the list the specific question and suggest people go back to the end of the MP3 of this meeting to listen to Paul's background and just pose the question about deletion? So you know you've got consensus to delete or not to delete it?
Well, maybe it would be better to add, just run these questions on the list, as in...
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If we could do that on the list.
Yeah. Yeah,
and then that will give you guidance in your drafting.
Yeah, okay. Okay, then, anything else? Oh, do you have any closing comments to type? No? Okay, then. Thanks, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Take care, everybody.
Bye.
Thank you.